Shalom Rabosa, a good Erev, I was about to say Erev Pesach, because that's the halachas we're dealing with. A good Erev Shabbos, we are holding here on the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis, today's Daf is Samach, Pesach and Daf Samach Tes, and it's Kedai for you to pause the recording for a moment. I'm not going to read it now, but it's Kedai to go back to the first mission of the Perek and Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis, onto Samach Vav and Aleph, and really go through that whole back and forth. If you remember, we had this whole discussion, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara is, by and large, going to deal with all those conversations today. So definitely could die to chazer it up. I'm not going to read it all through now, but I'm definitely going to be referencing it and going back to it. So either keep your finger, right, maybe bookmark it a little bit to flip back. But either way, we're here on the bottom of Samach Ches Amud Beis. And Rav Ashi is going to say as follows. We said yesterday that according to Rabbi Yeshua, right, again, the machlokes we had between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua was whether the dinim d'rabbanan revolving around the Korban Pesach are Docha Shabbos or not. Well, whether you should do them on Shabbos. So we had said, Rabbi Yeshua had said that the d'rabbanans of, you know, bringing from outside the tchum and cutting off a ward, etc., they are not Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar had said they are Docha Shabbos. And then they went back and forth with their logics. And so one of the proofs that Rabbi Yeshua had yesterday was the fact that we hold that eating food and preparing, having a meal on Yontif is a mitzvah. And Rabbi Lazar said, no, it's not a mitzvah. Therefore, again, that was, you know, the basis of the argument, back and forth, etc. So according to Rav Ashi is going to say now that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that eating on Yontif is not a mitzvah, right? That was the whole thing, right? Either kul lachem or kul lashem. That was Rabbi Eliezer Shita. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that eating on Yontif is not a mitzvah, Rabbi Yeshua still has an argument against him. So that's what Rav Ashi says. I'm a Rav Ashi. Remind the Kama Rabbi Eliezer, Nami Yontif Rishos. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Yontif is Rishos, he's Lipircha. Still, Rabbi Yeshua could ask a question on Rabbi Eliezer's logic. Because you can say like this, Umay Yontif Shehitir Bo Malacha Shal Rishos, Lo Hitir Rishos Ima, Sheima. If you're telling me that on Yontif, well, where they allow you to violate a malacha, right, to do shechita, malacha sochal nefesh, for a rishus, for something that's optional, for eating food, right, for preparing a meal, so, lo hitir shvus she'ima, they didn't allow any drabanans for ochal nefesh, so Shabbos, shelo hitir ba'elam malacha shal mitzvah, ain't eventual tadir shvus she'ima. So certainly, if they only allowed malachas to be performed on Shabbos, meaning shechlin korban pesach, on Erev Shabbos, certainly they're not going to allow any derabbanan. Meaning, if they're allowing only malachos for dinam derabbanan, certainly they're only going to allow malachos for a mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yeshua would say that they're not going to allow the derabbanans of carrying it in from outside the tchum, etc., etc. Rabbi Elazar, what would Rabbi Elazar say to that? So he would say shvus the mitzvah other play. He said, no. When you are faced with a mitzvah, so then you can violate shvusin. Then you can violate dinam derabbanan. That's more chashuv because you're dealing with a mitzvah, so any derabbanans are going to fall by the wayside. Okay, Tanya will enter. Right, so I'm a Rabbi Elazar. Now again, if you remember back and forth, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva had argued back and forth as well. So this is kind of like a hemshach and an explanation of what was going on over there. So Tanya will enter. Right, so I'm a Rabbi Elazar. Umali, why? What's my logic here? Why would I say all these dinim derabbanan are also on Shabbos? Because in dachu machshiri mitzvah shalachar shchita shel Shabbos. If we're going to be docha, the machshirei mitzvah that come after the shechita, right, these avid lei mitzvah, even though the mitzvah has been done already, right, again, if you remember, that was like the michui kreva, they're taking the stuff off of the intestines, etc., etc., and we said that that's not docha Shabbos. So, and that happens after the mitzvah has been done. So therefore, for sure, lo yidchu machshirei mitzvah shalefnei shechita shel Shabbos, as a Shabbos. So for sure, the things that are before the shechita, you haven't done the mitzvah yet, certainly these machshirei mitzvah, the preparatory actions for doing the mitzvah, certainly should not be docha Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva said back to him, what are you talking about? Demali, what kind of logic is this? But in dachu machshirei mitzvah shalachar shechita as a Shabbos, v'sharei dachta shechita as a Shabbos, what are you talking about? The machshirei after the shechita, right, you've already done the shechita. We've already been docha Shabbos, so you might as well, right, do the machshirei mitzvah afterwards. Right, so, but that can't tell you anything about the machshirei that are before the shechita. Tomer yidchu machshirei mitzvah shalishnei shechita shel Shabbos, shelo docha shechita shel Shabbos. You can't compare the two. Right, you can't tell me that the ones that we're going to be, we shechted the korban Pesach already. We're machal the Shabbos. So mistama, you should do the machshiri mitzvah that are shaykh that mitzvah, because that mitzvah already overrode the Shabbos. Right? Just to be clear, it's not saying that once you violate Shabbos once, so then Shabbos is over, right? And then you're finished. Right? It's not Shabbos is not a one shot deal here. If you do something to be machal Shabbos for whatever reason, doesn't mean you shouldn't keep the rest of Shabbos. That's not what it means. It means once we're being docha Shabbos for the mitzvah, so anything that then follows that mitzvah should be included. But anything before that, until the point when you have been docha the mitzvah, docha Shabbos for the mitzvah, right, that should not be. That's not relevant. That's not. You can't compare the two because we're still pre mitzvah, and that's not. It's not comparable. The davar acher, another logical thing that Rabbi Kiva tried to say, shem yimatzi zevach psul, because well, all the machshirim before the mitzvah, what would happen? Maybe you shech the korban and it'll be psul. Then retroactively, all the things you did to be mechal Shabbos before the mitzvah, before the din, so before the shechita, so it turned out you did them for naught because the shechita was no good. So Gemara says that's not good logic. Come on, that's true. So mishkan ami lo mishkan. So you should, well, if that's true, if we're nervous that maybe you'll find out that the animal is possible, there's some sort of the shechita was done improperly, or there's a tray, it's a treifa or whatever. So shem imatzi zevach psul. You should never venimsa mechal Shabbos for the freya. Then you should never shecht the korban, right? Because then maybe you'll find that you did the shechita and it was inappropriate and it was for no reason. So really, the Gemara says you're right. The arguments that Rabbi Kiva put forth to Rabbi Eliezer was in the reverse. Meaning he started with this, maybe you'll find that the shechita is puzzle. And Rabbi Eliezer said back to him, okay, but then you should never shecht anyway, because then maybe the shechita will be no good and you'll be mechal Shabbos. And then he said, okay, fine, if that's true, so then Rabbi Kiva came back to him with the logic that he said beforehand, that the mitzvah, that the machshirim mitzvah after the shechita do not or cannot compare to the machshirim before the shechita. Okay, now if you go back to the Mishnah, if you remember, right, Heishiv Rabbi Akiva v'Amar Hazat Ochiach. Right, what did Rabbi Akiva want to say? Right, if they went back and forth and back and forth, Rabbi Akiva finally said, "Well, if you're telling me that the sprinkling of the paraduma on this on the guy who's tamei, that's not docha Shabbos. So if that's not docha Shabbos, maybe even the shechita shouldn't be Dovah Shabbos, because Kal v'chomer, the Shechita, is something serious, right? It's a din d'araisa. That's a malacha mid'araisa. Sprinkling is only din d'rabanan. So it's a sprinkling isn't Dovah Shabbos. Maybe the Shechita should be Dovah Shabbos. And Rabbi Elazar said back to him, well, that's against the Torah. What are you talking about? Well, we had a pasuk of a Moado, right? That tells me that you shecht Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. Period. Hard stop, right? Full stop. End of story. So what was Rabbi Kiva thinking? Like, well, obviously Rabbi Kiva knew the pasuk. So the Gemara explains. Tanya, we learned in Rabbi Ezer. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Akiva b'shchita heishav tani. What you're telling me in a ridiculous manner. I mean, you're bringing this ridiculous proof from shchita. What are you? Maybe we shouldn't shecht korban pesach on erev Shabbos. It's a fair shapasuk. Rabbi Elazar thought he was making fun of it. Right, that is, if his logic holds, that maybe we shouldn't shecht korban pesach. What are you talking about? The Torah says to shecht it. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says something very harsh. B'shchita temi saso. So your death, but he said it in a way that his death, but meaning your death, should also be b'shchita. Now, obviously, Rabbi Akiva had a really gruesome death, if you're familiar, right, from the Sarai Ruge Malchus. So, unfortunately, it's not terrible to say this almost, but halavai that he should have been shechted, right? It would have been spared an immense amount of pain. Right? It would have been over in a few seconds if he'd been shechted, and instead he had his flesh fleed from his arm, from his limbs. So there's another Gemara that talks about how Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim came to Rabbi Eliezer after he was put in Cherim, after the whole story of Rabbi Eliezer's oven, if you're familiar. There were a bunch of nisim that happened to prove Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, and the Chachamim said to him, right, lo b'shamayim hi, that the Torah is not in heaven, right, we paskin against you, and Rabbim v'yachid alach k'rabim, therefore, so they put Rabbi Eliezer in Cherim. And then they came to visit him towards the end of his life, and Rabbi Eliezer was still angry at them. And basically, Rabbi Eliezer said that Akiva, he doubled down almost, and he said that Rabbi Akiva's Misa should be even more machmir than he had originally said. So that's how we get to that. Apparently, right, again, you see that trifling with Tamil Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer felt very slighted by the way that Rabbi Akiva had almost mocked him. So as the kasha is, therefore, what was Rabbi Akiva doing? Right? Clearly, Rabbi Eliezer knew the pasuk. Clearly, Rabbi Akiva knew the pasuk. As he was trying to show him how his logic was faulty by going against Beferish Pesukim. So Amar Lo, the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva said back to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Al Tach Pireini B'Shas Adin. Right? Don't. What do you mean? At this time of judgment, right? Don't argue with me, because kach mekubalim nimcha, because I learned this from you, that hazar shavuos are in the dochus of Shabbos, that dinam the sprinkling the carbon, not carbon pesach, the not the blood, the sprinkling the paraduma on someone is also mean derabbanan, is not dochus Shabbos. But you're telling me again one of the logical things that Rabbi Elazar had said. You told me that sprinkling is dochus Shabbos. So I, what I was trying to do, Rashi explains, is that I wasn't trying, to make fun of you. I was trying to remind you that you told me that sprinkling is the part of Duma is a shvus, is also Durabanan. Now you're telling me that sprinkling the part of Duma is not Docha Shabbos, right? You told me that it was Docha Shabbos, and now you told me that it was not Docha Shabbos, and now you're telling me that it is Docha Shabbos. So basically Rabbi Kiva was trying to remind Rabbi Elazar of what he had taught, and he wasn't trying to say it outright. So he brought this ridiculous logic, hoping that Rabbi Elazar would take the hint and be like, oh, Rabbi Kiva is saying this logic that goes against the Torah, so maybe something's going on over here. So Gemara asks, "V'chini achar duhu akmere?" So my time of other base. Well, if Rabbi Elazar said that it is not Docha Shabbos, that the sprinkling of the paraduma to make someone tahor on the seventh day, that's not Docha Shabbos. That's been also the Rabbanan. So why did he say now that it is Docha Shabbos? So Amar Ula, Rabbi Elazar ki akmere hazar the truma akmere. So when Rabbi Elazar taught that sprinkling of the paraduma on this guy to make a person tahor, when that's mutar on Shabbos, so that refers to truma, because the guy's waiting to eat truma, there it's aser. But the truma kufa lo doche Shabbos, because eating truma is not doche Shabbos, you don't have to eat truma on Shabbos, it's no chiyuv. But Rabbi Akiva nami, ki osve hazar the truma osve. And that was actually Rabbi Akiva's kasha. I mean, he asked Rabbi Eliezer from truma, shehi mitzvah v'shehi mishum shavuos, because again, it's a mitzvah, and it's also midir rabbanan. Meaning the mitzvah to sprinkle on the seventh day, and it's also midir rabbanan. Who stumbles on the Pesach kavosuvle? But Rabbi Elazar thought he was asking the kasher from sprinkling korban Pesach. Therefore, he said no. Sprinkling sprinkling the para aduma on the guy to make him tahor, so he can eat the korban Pesach. That's mutter. That's what Rabbi Elazar thought, and therefore he responded, no, that sprinkling is Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva had said, you taught us sprinkling the paraduma to make someone tahor is not Docha Shabbos, but that was in reference to Truma, not to the Korban Pesach. So it's just a miscommunication. They were talking about different dinim, right? The Korban Pesach, someone has to eat as a mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach. Truma, there's no mitzvah to eat Truma. Right, in both cases, yes, he needs the sprinkling of the paraduma to be tahor to do it, but truma is not a mitzvah, so therefore it's not Docha Shabbos. So Korban Pesach, the next day, right, the following night, is a mitzvah, so therefore the sprinkling is Docha Shabbos. Just to be clear, sprinkling the paraduma on somebody on Shabbos, that's what we're doing, so it looks like tikkun maneh, because now you're fixing, quote-unquote, the guy, you're making him tahor. Right? It looks like makabah patish, it's like you're fixing something and completing an object. That's why it's also Midir Rabbanan. Okay, so Viter. So according to that, that's what Ulu was saying, that there's a miscommunication. Must have Rabba says, that can't be the discussion Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, because Heishiv Rabbi Akiva Ba'amar, the Brisa says very clearly, Hazaz Tamim Meisto Chiech Shechash Vish Lodios Bishavos Ve'erva Pesach. Right, v'shehi mitzvah v'mishum shavos v'ne dochas Shabbos. It's clear that Rabbi Akiva was not talking about Truma, but talking about Pesach. Elavade is on the Pesach Akmarei. Certainly, Rabbi Eliezer also was. I mean, Rabbi Kiva was not talking about the sprinkling of the paraduma so that a guy can eat truma. That's not at all what he was talking about. It's very clear in the Brisa he was talking about Korban Pesach. So they're both talking about the same thing. So therefore, back to the question: my time, Rabbi Eliezer. So if that's Rabbi Eliezer taught, then it's not Docha Shabbos. So why did Rabbi Eliezer change his mind and say that it is Docha Shabbos? So Rabbi Elazar, Gomar is Akarlei, V'asar Rabbi Kiva Latkuri Gemari. So fascinating that Rabbi Elazar actually forgot. He forgot this halacha, and Rabbi Akiva was trying to remind him of this halacha. So, okay, fine, if that's true, so why don't you say it straight up? So just tell him that, by the way, this is what you told us, this is the halacha. Why do you have to bring this faulty logic right against the Torah, right, back and forth? So Savarlav Orachara. So Rabbi Kiva felt it wasn't appropriate for him to say that. Oh, by the way, you taught that to me. You're mistaken. Now, that is a little bit surprising, only because we find all over Shas that Abaye consistently reminds Rav Yosef of what he taught him. Right? We had already a bunch of times in the Daf Yomi cycle that Abaye reminds Rav Yosef, not only is this the halacha, but you taught it to us. So why was Rabbi Akiva so worried, right? Why didn't he want to, he didn't think Rabbi Elazar would appreciate it, and Rabbi Elazar, cursed him. Hey, what's going on over here? So the pashtus is a simple shot, I would imagine. I haven't seen this really anywhere inside. But I would imagine is that, Rav Yosef, the Gemara tells us, Rav Yosef got sick, and he forgot his learning, and he very much appreciated what Abaye was doing. Rabbi Elazar was not sick, and he would have been very embarrassed and very upset if he had, if someone said, oh, by the way, you taught me this, how could you forget? They would have taken great offense. Well, apparently he took offense anyway, but that's why Rabbi Akiva thought it was inappropriate to tell him, whereas Abaye was very happy to tell Rabbi Yosef what he taught him, because Rabbi Yosef had gotten sick, and he was looking forward almost. He was eager and happy that Abaye would teach him what he himself had forgotten. Okay, that's a pashut shot, I would imagine, the difference between those two cases. Either way, Vazal, my time of Lodoka Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, why isn't sprinkling the paraduma on a person that's not going to be Doka Shabbos? So Gemara says, Michli, let's see. Tilta ba'almahu. It's not actually a malacha, it's just carrying, right? Sprinkling the paraduma, you're just carrying it with you. Tidchi Shabbos Mishum Pesach. Why shouldn't it be Doka Shabbos? Right? Why are people saying it's not Doka Shabbos? So Rabba says, Gzeir Shemich Lenav Yavrev, that a lot of us Shusar Rabbin. Just like Megillah, Lulav, Shofar, not exactly the same, but we're concerned that you may carry it, Dalet Amos, in the Shusar Rabbin. So Gemara says, well, Rabbi Elazar and Avrei. Right, one second, Rabbi Elazar, why doesn't Rabbi Elazar allow him to carry it? Right, if you remember, right, at the end of Masechta Shabbos, right, we have Perek where Rabbi Elazar the Mila, Ta'amar Rabbi Elazar, Machshirei Mitzvah, Dochet the Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds that Machshirei Mitzvah. If you have to do any preparation for a mitzvah, that's Dochet Shabbos. So why can't he carry it? I don't understand. So Amrei, so they said, Hani Mili Hecha de Gavra Gufe Chazi. That's only when the guy himself is able to perform the mitzvah. And therefore, Rami Chayuve Olan, and therefore he's Chayiv. But Hacha, Abba Hacha, the Gavra Gufe Lechazi, lo Rami Chayuve Olan. Right, what's this guy's situation? Right, he needs to be sprinkled in order to be able to do the Korban Pesach. What happens if he's Tamei? He gets pushed to Pesach Sheni. So he himself is not able to do the mitzvah. So therefore, it's not going to be a Chayuv to become Tahor. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar is not going to say that this is machshirei mitzvah that is doches Shabbos. Rabbi says, "I'm a rabbi." Rabbi says, "Well, according to that, the Rabbi Elazar apparently katan bari mecham lochamin lahavroso l'beshabbos." Well, again, if you remember back in the day, it used to be considered that a baby needed a hot water bath to enable him to be ready to have a milah, and he needed it afterwards as well. So apparently, what do you see? That only someone who's able to do a mitzvah are we going to be docha Shabbos for him? So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabba infers and assumes that only a healthy baby we're going to be allowed to heat up water for him for a bath. To do a milah. The Achazile, because he's able to do the milah. But katan cholef, a baby is sick, though, and for whatever reason needs the bath before the milah to make sure that he's healthy, so in that case, in the chamalocham lavroso lumolo, then we're not allowed to heat up water to put him in a bath, and therefore make him able to be to have a milah, talochazile, because if he's not able to have a milah as is, right, we're not able to do any machshiri mitzvah, we're not able to do any preparations to make him able to perform the mitzvah, because he's currently unable to do the mitzvah. So Rava doesn't like that so much. Amar Rava, he says, one second, Vibariu Lamalecham Lavroso. Very sharp, right? Well, if you're telling me the kid is healthy, what do you need the bath for? What do you need to make the hot water for? If he's ready to have the meal, great. If he's not ready to have the meal, not great. So Ella Marava, Rava says, no. I call Cholin Eitzah Mila. Every baby is considered to be a chola in purposes of mila. Mila is a dangerous operation, right? It's considered to be a chola. Echad katan bari, echad katan chola, whether he's technically, officially healthy or sick. In mechamel ochamel lavrosa lemolam Shabbos, regardless, we do not heat up water to make him able to have a mila. Taluchazi, because at the moment, again, back in the day, they held that a baby without a bath was not able to have a mila. So every baby, says Rava, needs a bath before it has a milah, and therefore we're not allowed to heat up water. According to this principle, we're not allowed to heat up water for the baby to make him able to be ready to have a bris milah, because at the current moment he's not able to have it. Okay. Now, we had said before, again, just to switch gears back to this, that Rabbi Eliezer had said again that it's usher to do hazah, to sprinkle the korban pesach. To sprinkle the paraduma on someone to make him tahor, in order that he should be able to bring the korban pesach. So we don't do that on Shabbos. So Eis ve'Abaye. Abaye said, one second. Arel shalom mal anashkaris. Someone who doesn't have a bris milah, right? What's his din? And he's not able to bring the korban pesach, and therefore he is going to be chayiv in karis. Right? He's chayiv for if he's able to, he could theoretically give himself a milah. He doesn't do that. Agav, he's going to be chayiv karis for not circumcising himself as well. But in terms of the Korban Pesach, so he is also going to be chayiv karis if he doesn't rectify his situation and get himself a milah before Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That's what Rabbi Elazar says. Aiva, but v'ha'cha yigavre gufe lo chazi. Right? But he's not able to bring the Korban Pesach. Meaning, why should he get karis for not bringing the Korban Pesach? He's not able to bring the Korban Pesach. He's not fit at this moment in time to bring the Korban Pesach. V'katani, we saw anush karis. Right? But if you're telling me the guy is punished for not doing the mitzvah with karis, so then he's chayiv in the mitzvah, right? But if you're telling me that someone is not fit to do the mitzvah, is not chayiv to do the mitzvah, so then why would he get punished? Right? You're telling me, we said for the last few minutes that if someone is not fit, is not able to do the mitzvah, so he's not in the parsha of the mitzvah, he's not chayiv, and therefore we can't do any of these makshirim mitzvah. So, but how could you punish an arel who doesn't do a bris milah for not doing the Korban Pesach? He's not shaykh the Korban Pesach. So why can't, so that, meaning logically, therefore we should be able to sprinkle someone who's tamei so that he can also, right, bring the Korban Pesach, even though he's not fit at this moment to bring the Korban Pesach. So Amar Rava, there's a big difference between someone who is tamei and someone who has not, given himself a bris milah. So Amar Rava says, because some Rabbi Elazar ain't shochet mizorkin al tamei sheretz. Rabbi Elazar holds that we're not going to shecht or sprinkle the blood of the Korban Pesach for someone who's tamei sheretz, even though he is technically able to be to become tahor. He's going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And the rule is, point to Rabbi Eliezer, that any situation where a single person would get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, if that is the same, if the same is true of the tzibur, then everybody does it b'tumas. Meaning, so if everybody is tamei sheretz, if the entire tzibur is tumas sheretz, so then nobody has to become tahor. Yeah, then they do the Korban Pesach if everybody's tamei. Right? In that case of Korban, of everybody's tamei sheretz. The chol milsa de isa b'tzibur isa b'yochid. And furthermore, flip it backwards. Any time that when the tzibur is chayiv in doing something, so then it applies also to a yochid. The chol milsa de lesser tzibur, lesser b'yochid. If it doesn't apply to the tzibur, then it doesn't apply to the yochid. And therefore, meaning this is the kicker. What's the difference between arelus and tuma? Arelus, right, of being not having a bris milah, indikul tzibur arelin ninhu, if whatever reason, I don't know how this would even be possible, but everybody would have no bris milah. So amrina luhu kuma molu nashu saichu adi Pesach. So they would say, no, we're not pushing off the Pesach Sheni. Everybody go get a bris milah, and then we'll bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, yachid nami, so to an individual, right? Amrina lai, if a person doesn't have a bris milah, we say to him, kum ol v'al v'pesach. We say, go take care of yourself, right? And go get a bris milah, and then bring the Korban Pesach. V'ilo mohel v'al v'anush karis. And therefore, if he doesn't do that, then he gets karis. But tuma is different, right? Ikuli tzibur tamei, and inu lo madin lai. If the entire tzibur is tamei, we don't sprinkle the paraduma on all of them to make them tamei. Ella, what do? Avdei b'tuma. We do bring the Korban Pesach. Betuma. So therefore, yochid nami. So too, the yochid is also potter if he is tamei, and therefore we're going to push him off to the Pesach Sheni. So Amar Leir of Huna Bereder of Yeshua the Rava. 1 second, Ari Pesach Sheni Delesu B'Tzibur B'Tzibur Yochid. You just told me that part of this whole logic back and forth is that tzibur and yochid is linked. So if something applies b'tzibur, it also applies b'yochid. If it applies b'yochid, it also applies b'tzibur. 1 second, Pesach Sheni only applies b'yochid. Right, the only whole institution of Pesach Sheni is only if a single person was tamei or is too far away from the Beis Hamikdash, so he does Pesach Sheni a month later. But that doesn't apply to the tzibur. So according to this logic, right, again, someone who is not able to bring the Korban Pesach shouldn't have to bring it on Pesach Sheni because the tzibur is not shaykh to this din. So Amalei said, no, Rava said back to him, Shani Hasam to Avil Tzibur Barishon. No, it is shaykh to the tzibur because the tzibur did Korban Pesach on the first Pesach. Right? So Pesach Sheni is only an offshoot of Pesach Rishon. So therefore, it is technically tied together. Okay. Now again, so we had just said that according to Abaye, so if someone's Tomei Sheretz, right? Again, he gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So Mustama, right? He doesn't have to be Metaher himself to bring the Korban Pesach. But it gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, if someone's tummy sherets. So, again, sherets just being one of the creepy crawling things that died. If you touch it, so then you're tummy. Okay, so Meisrei, one second. Yachol lo yehi anush karis. You might have thought that you, Elishai Tahor. You might have thought that the only person who gets karis for not bringing the carbon Pesach is someone who is Tahor, v'shalohai abaderech rechoka, or someone who is not far away, right? Those are the two exclusions. If you're tummy, or if you're not... if you're not close to the Beis HaMikdash, you can wait for Pesach Sheni, implying that anybody who is Tahor and anybody who is close to the Beis HaMikdash and doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, that's when you get Karis for not bringing the Korban Pesach. But you might have thought that Arel v'tamei sheret u'sharkal tamayim minayim. How do you know that someone who is an Arel and someone who is tamei sheret and any other tuma, how do you know they also get Karis if they don't bring the Korban Pesach? Because how long the pasuk says v'ish. And then Midgar Hadar, Tamei Sheretz, and now the Gemara points out, since the Braisa specifically pointed out Tamei Sheretz, right, what did we say? We said Orel, Tamei Sheretz, and all the other Tumas. Well, why did we highlight Tamei Sheretz? So apparently, what do we say? What are we saying here? Kasavra, Ein Shochtem Zorchen, Al Shabbat, Tamei Sheretz. Apparently, we hold that you're not supposed to Shecht Korban Pesach or do the Zrika of the blood for someone who's Tamei Sheretz, right? Instead, he's supposed to wait till Pesach Sheni, like we've been saying the whole time. Right? Dishokta Mizorka no Tamei Sheretz, Lama lo Hadri Elei. Because if we do Shecht and sprinkle for him, why would the Pasuk need to teach me a drusha that he's getting Kares? Right? Hanging Torah. It's the same case as a Torah. Right? Meaning, apparently, from the fact that we had to include a drusha for a Tamei Sheretz, right? That seems to imply that his procedure on Erev Pesach is different than a Tahor. Right? A Tahor is, obviously, if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, he gets Karis. If someone who was Tamei Sheretz wanted to bring the Korban Pesach, we wouldn't shecht for him and we wouldn't sprinkle for him. That's how we know that he has, that's why we need to find a pasuk to teach me that if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, he gets Karis. Right, so clearly from this price, bottom line, this price seems that Tamei Sheretz does have to go to the mikvah and does have to make himself tahor. So Ama Afagav Delochazi Chiyuv Aleh. Apparently, what do you see? Again, this is going against the whole logic we just said before in Amar Aleph, that if even though he's not fit to bring the Korban Pesach right now, still he has a chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach and fix himself and make himself tahor. Afagav Delochazi B'Tzibur Nisi B'Yachid. And even though this is nothing that's not shaykh to the Tzibur, because if most of the Tzibur was Tamei Sheretz, they wouldn't have to purify themselves and become tahor. Nisi B'Yachid. It does apply to a single person. So apparently this whole link between Tzibur and Yachid gets thrown out. And therefore that can't answer, right? That was a whole fancy teretz, if you remember, as to why Rabbi Elazar is going to say that sprinkling someone on sprinkling the paraduma on someone who's Tamei does not do Shabbos. Well, this seems to imply that it is Tocha Shabbos, because the person otherwise, if he doesn't do the Korban Pesach, if he doesn't fix himself from being Tamei Sheretz, he's going to get Kares. It's not a lot more obvious. Rava says a different explanation, right? Why Rabbi Elazar would say that we don't sprinkle someone who's Tamei on Shabbos to make him ready to bring the Korban Pesach. So, Kosav Rabbi Elazar shochtem zorkin al Tamei Sheretz v'ladin al Tamei Meis b'shivi shalom. The Rabbi Elazar holds that we do sprinkle, meaning we will shecht a Korban Pesach and throw the blood on the mizbeach for someone who's Tamei Sheretz, and so too someone who's Tamei Meis. He'll send the shliach. He won't go himself, obviously, but he'll send the shliach, and we will sprinkle and shech for him. So hazal lamais, meaning, and therefore hazal sprinkling to make him tahor is not necessary, because what's the purpose of sprinkling to make him tahor? That's la'achila. That's to eat the Korban Pesach, and achilas k'psachim lo ma'akva. And eating the Korban Pesach is not ma'akiv. If a person, for whatever reason, brings the Korban Pesach and doesn't eat it, so he's still yotzei the din. Now, in Echonami, the pasuk says, even Rashi points out, ish lefi achol techoso aseh, right, that's not necessarily, that doesn't mean that you have to eat it, that just means you have to be able to eat it. One second, let's see the final Rashi, if I'm not mistaken. Right, and there's this guy, I can't find the Rashi, I can never find the Rashi's that I want. I should really start highlighting. Although I don't like the look of a highlighter in the Gemara. Alright. Right, okay, so Rashi doesn't really elaborate. Rashi, if you look four lines down in the wide lines, so look, see, ish lefi achlo lefi achlo lemitzvah. They're saying that it's an extra mitzvah, but it's not ma'akit. Okay, fine. Tosus asked the question on top. Right, it seems Achilles Pesachim on Akva. It seems a little strange, right? Meaning that he explained, if you read a parish, v'chiyai gavna sheish b'yadu l'takin atzmo v'ena m'takin lo ma'akva. Only in this scenario where he could have fixed himself, but he didn't fix it. Meaning, if he could have become tahor and he didn't, so in that case, it's not ma'akiv. I'm a b'tame gomor ma'akva. But if someone is completely tame and he's unable to eat it, so then it is crucial that he eat the korban pesach, and the fact that he can't will tell me that he can't bring it. All right, a little stuff going on over here, but let's go a little bit. Amar le Rav Ada bar Abba, Rav Ada bar Abba, Amar le Rav Ada bar Abba the Rava, im kein, well, if that's true, that if the guy who's Tommy Mace brings a Korban Pesach without coming Tahor, simtza Pesach neshul shalol achlof. Well, what about, if you remember, we had a different psul. The problem is, right, if you're going to tell me they're going to shecht and sprinkle the Korban Pesach for people who can't eat it, so then that was a problem. That was one of the psul, if you remember the last perek. So how does that work? Now that's talking about someone who physically can't eat it, like someone who's sick and someone who's old. But this guy, Mefzi Chazi, this guy can eat it, no problem, but Tikune lo de lo matake. But he hasn't he has not fixed himself, he's not made himself tahor. And that's therefore that's not going to mess up the Korban Pesach because he himself is technically able to eat it. Okay, let's get to the Mishnah. Klal Amar Rabbi Kiva again. Rabbi Kiva had said anything that can be done before Shabbos or any malachos that can be done on Erev Shabbos is not Tocha Shabbos. But since the Shechita cannot be done on Erev Shabbos, right? Because you're talking about you have to shecht on Erev Pesach, and Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, so that is that's going to be on Shabbos. That's going to be. That is Docha Shabbos. So I'm Rabbi the Marav, Rabbi Kiva, the Lachazar, Rabbi Kiva. Utna Nami, and similarly, we have a similar discussion, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lazar, right? Nami Gabi Mila, by Mila. It's Kiyag Avna, because like in this case, we also say that Kala Lama Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva also said that Komalach Shabbos are lost in the area of Shabbos, in Docha Shabbos. Anything that you can do before Shabbos is not Docha Shabbos, but Mila, the Yevshu, the Lassa Be'er of Shabbos, Docha Shabbos. But since Mila you can't do before the eighth day, right? The eighth day is Shabbos, so then it's going to be Docha Shabbos. I'm Rabbi the Marav also, Allah Rabbi Kiva, we also said, Allah is like Rabbi Kiva, Utsricha, and we need both clarifications that Allah is like Rabbi Kiva in both cases, because you can't learn one from the next. If you would have only taught me that Allah is like Rabbi Kiva by Korban Pesach, because Hasan hu d'makshiri mitzvah d'ulav Shabbos b'shem d'ulav nichrusu alei shalosh esrei brisos. But that's where we're not going to do a makshiri mitzvah on Shabbos, because you don't have 13 brisim like by a bris. We have 13 brisim that Kosh Baruch Hu made with us. Meaning bris is better, the more important, shall we say. We have 13 brisim, so there, only in that case, you might think that it's Dovah Shabbos. Avon milu, the nechus shalah, shalosh esrei brisos, emelitchi, you might have thought that the machshirin would be Dovah Shabbos, because Mila has 13 covenants, quote-unquote, that HaKosh Baruch Hu made with us. V'ilash min and Mila, and if you would have only taught us that the halachas are going to be kiva by Mila, hasam de machshirin mitzvah, the lo Dovah Shabbos, the lesakaris, the lekakaris. You might have thought that by Mila, there is no punishment for kares if a person delays his mila. Now, meaning yes, in a chanami there's kares for someone who does not get a bris mila is chayav kares, but this not when you're a baby. Right? If you push the mila from the eighth day to the ninth day, nobody says that the baby is chayav kares, right? No, or the father at all. Right? Meaning that's for sure not true. And obviously, if you're just prepping to do it the next day, right, that's certainly not chayav kares. That's what Rashi explains. So, meaning, you might have thought that the makshiri mitzvah is not Tocha Shabbos because there's no kares isur over here. Aval by Pesach, but by the Korban Pesach, the Ika kares, there is a kares for someone who does not do it. So then, emalichri, then you might have thought that the makshirin are Tocha Shabbos, and therefore, tzricha, you need to tell me that they are not if you could have done it from Erev Pesach. Now, there is a very interesting point of Tosos. Tosos says over here, halach Rabbi Kiva, again, what do we say? Halach tzak Rabbi Kiva, in the case over here, by Shechitas Korban Pesach. Elsewhere, the Gemara says sometimes that the Gemara asks, halach hilchazal meshicha. Why are we asking a psak halacha for something that will become relevant when the Mashiach comes? I mean, the Gemara was written after the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, pretty much. Usually we don't paskin on something that's not relevant. So why would you need to tell me? I mean, the Gemara talks about it, and we learned about all the halachos, the back and forth, what the Chachamim felt, what the Tanaim and Amoraim discussed, but usually we don't say paskin. We usually don't say halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, for example, in a case that's not relevant. Right, sometimes the Gemara, for example, Tosis brings over here in Sanhedrin, we don't say Hilchasa Kamish, we say Hilchasa de Mashiach. Why are you asking me a question that's going to be relevant when Mashiach comes? We'll figure it out over there. Why do you need a Paskin now? So that's just an interesting Ha'ara that the Gemara does not say that over here. And that's what Tosis points out. I thought that was interesting to point out. Okay, either way, have a great Shabbos, and we'll go right through the Heilige Shas tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem Yisborach.